Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacy.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And today we are talking about, our title for the episode today is, I totally know that, except I don't. Because this is a bunch of things that I at least normally feel like if you had brought it up, I'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, I know, I got it. But then if you asked me to explain it to you, I totally couldn't tell you anything about it.
I hate that. Where you think you know something and then you really start digging into it and you're like, wait a minute, did I know that? No, wait, right. Did I know that? I thought I knew that. It's no, like, I didn't know that.
What do I know about this at all? I don't even know.
Exactly. You sort of know, but you don't know.
So like the first one is about fruits and vegetables, which I do know you should get. Yes, that's what I know. Okay, we're good.
You should eat fruits and vegetables. Yay.
I don't quite remember the, healthy food pyramid recommendations.
Because it's not a food pyramid anymore.
Well, it is, but
now it's a plate.
Oh, but didn't they make it a pyramid where it was random? See, I don't keep up with that either.
And it's changed. But yes, you should definitely get a lot of fruits and vegetables, and you're supposed to eat the rainbow. I do know that.
Right. That
Lots
part
of
I did get.
Colors, yeah.
But I am of such an age that I didn't know even until I was probably into like double digit ages that there are seasons for fruits and vegetables.
Because you live in Northern California, which right? basically has no seasons.
Well, and also, I mean, I can go to the grocery store and get, like, apples any time of the year. It's like, right. What, there's an apple season? Mm-hmm. No, there isn't. What are you talking about? It's always in the grocery store. There's no such thing as an apple season.
Yes.
That's a myth. So amongst the other things I just clearly don't know about fruits and vegetables and things that spring out of the ground is which ones are safe. I guess safe would be a good word, to buy in supermarket, and which ones maybe you might want to shell out a bit more to buy organic.
Okay.
I'd heard of this Dirty Dozen a couple of times, but like, you know, what the heck is strawberry season? I couldn't have told you anything about it other than that there supposedly was one and it had something to do with things that come out of the ground. That's all I've got. But the Dirty Dozen.
And you live so close to the Central Valley, which grows strawberries like crazy. That's sad, Stacey.
I've never been on one. I mean, I'll see them as I drive. Like, you know, you could get strawberries
for
whatever.
Strawberries or the stands, yeah.
I don't actually like strawberries, so that I'm going to use that as my excuse. Okay. I don't like strawberries, and that's why I don't know what that season is. I eat apples, but I don't know that season because other reasons.
You and Tom Brady. Why I know that he doesn't like strawberries is beyond NPR. That's why I know he doesn't like strawberries. Anyway,
so the Dirty Dozen is a yearly list put out by the Environmental Working Group that ranks pesticide contamination in 47 popular fruits and vegetables.
That's just depressing.
I mean, I don't think it's always 47, but 47 was the number this year. Okay. And then the top 12, the Dirty Dozen, are the ones where it's just like so many of the samples they found had pesticides or had more than one pesticide on it, even after washing, because these samples are washed and peeled to sort of mimic, you know, what regular people would do with them.
Right.
And so even after washing, what would a regular average American be exposed to pesticide-wise?
I'm pretty sure I'm like 90% pesticides at this point. I'm just hoping it's like exposing your kid to dirt. You know, let your kid eat a little dirt. It'll boost their immune system. I'm going to be like super pesticide girl. I'll be immune to all of them, in theory. That's not how it works.
I was an environmental major in college, so even though I haven't read it, I do totally know about Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. So me being half pesticides is not a cheerful, peaceful thought at all.
No, it's not.
I hope I'm not. I really hope I'm not. But anyways, the Dirty Dozen looks at 6 measures of contamination, including the average number of pesticides found on a sample and the average amount of pesticides found. Nearly 70% of conventionally grown produce samples are contaminated with pesticides in this study. 70%.
And that's even after all the misting that happens at the supermarket. Right.
All the misting, and then you take it home and wash it, and still 70% samples of pesticide.
Wow. How much washing do you have to do to even come close to eliminating that amount of pesticide?
Well, you got to wonder, if that's the case, how much pesticides are they using? Because it's clearly not just like one spray over and you're done. And it's not like Roundup and you kill the weeds. Like, right. It's clearly multiple sprays, evidently, if it takes that much to get it off.
Right. Wow.
But and here, this is also, I'm going to use this as a reason as to why I don't know when strawberry season's. Strawberries are the number one of the Dirty Dozen for the 3rd year in a row.
Oh, geez.
A single sample of strawberries showed 20 pesticides.
Wow.
I didn't even know there could be 20 used on the same product.
I didn't realize that either. I mean, do they just make a giant cocktail of it and then spray it on there? I realize that there are different kinds of pests, so obviously right. There'd be different types of pesticides. I just never stopped to think that they would that there would be that many that they would use, like you said, on a single product.
Yeah. So this, I'm going to use this as my total scientific reason as to why I do not like strawberries. Not just because I don't, but because science. Science. It's always science.
Yes, of course.
The others in the Dirty Dozen include, and I'll read them in order, spinach, nectarines, apples, which I do know of, grapes, peaches, cherries, pears, tomatoes, celery, potatoes, sweet bell peppers, and then this year actually has 13, also hot peppers.
Okay, all things that I like.
Right, you're
maybe
really
not nectarines so often, but not because I don't like them. Wow, I am 90% pesticides at this point.
I mean, evidently. Like, what was it? More than 98% of strawberry, spinach, peaches, and the rest tested positive for at least one pesticide residue, even after being washed or peeled.
Wow.
And the potatoes one really throws me off because aren't those underground?
Well, sure, but you got to figure it soaks in.
But I mean, they're not being directly sprayed, and then they do get washed and peeled and then still have pesticides.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Awesome.
And then, you know, if you're boiling them or something to make like mashed potatoes, you're just like making a pesticide soup. How cheery is that?
Oh, man.
What is with you and I? And we always come up with like the world's worst, most depressing.
Really?
Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, I'm going to blame Sarah. It's Sarah and strawberries. It's all their fault.
And science. It's the S.
Wait, I'm a Stacy. Oh, man. But anyway, scientists do advocate rinsing all fresh produce under tap water for a minimum of 30 seconds, even though, as we see with this study, maybe do a little bit longer.
Right.
Though there are things I know they sell in stores to like veggie washes. That's
right.
Probably not the correct term, but to, you know, wash your produce in before to get the pesticides off. And then I think you probably have to wash that off.
I always thought that was kind of silly, but now I'm rethinking that.
Well, evidently, according to science, lovely
science.
Those don't actually really do much for decreasing the amount of pesticides on them.
What does?
I mean, those are hardy pesticides, and there's 20 or so of them. So, you know.
Help me, Stacey.
A mild veggie wash is not going to do it. Although there was a study from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, which suggests that soaking produce in a solution of baking soda and water would do it, okay. Which is much simpler.
And probably cheaper. Baking soda is not very expensive.
And you at least know what's in it, as opposed to a strange, you know, dish soap for your produce.
Right.
That then you're going to eat. It just kind of sounds like you're adding chemicals on top of chemicals at that point.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
We're really depressing here.
So if there is a Dirty Dozen, are there fruits and vegetables that are better in terms of the amount of pesticide?
There are. So there is actually a Clean 15, which, you know, better than even the baker's dozen that we got. That's slightly two more, at least.
Yeah.
Two more of things. So the Clean 15, in order of from best to not as best, not worse, obviously, because these are the clean ones right. That you're good with. But these are the ones that
clean to slightly less clean.
Slightly less clean. These are the produce that shows very little to no pesticide on the samples when they tested them. Are avocados, sweet corn, pineapples, cabbage, onions, frozen sweet peas, papayas, asparagus, mangoes, eggplant, honeydew melon, kiwi, cantaloupe, cauliflower, and broccoli.
Okay. Well, I eat a lot of those too, so now I feel a little better.
I still don't. I don't eat most of any of these. Seriously, things that come from the ground.
Are you not a fruit and vegetables person?
Really, really not. The microwave is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and I love it.
They have done studies, actually, that certain people, depending on things like your ethnicity, actually affects how you taste vegetables. Hey. Like, there are certain groups of people who the vegetables just simply taste bitter to.
Huh.
And it's not that they, you know, just hate vegetables on principle. It's because they actually taste, like, more bitter. So you and I could eat the exact same thing, and I'd be like, yay, broccoli! And you'd be like, this is disgusting. And it's not because you're a picky eater. It's because they taste bitter to you, and they don't taste bitter to me.
Except in my case, it is because I'm a picky eater. Well, because the rest of my family will eat numbers of these, and I'm just like, nope. No. No thanks. Not at all.
Eat the rainbow, Stacey. And that's not gummy bears.
I was about to say, isn't that like Twix or something? Or Lucky Charms? I'll go, there's a whole Lucky Skittles. Charms that's just three different types of rainbows. I'll go eat that one instead.
Oh, Lord.
I'll tell my mother you said
that. Do not throw me diet, the bus diet advice. Your mother.
Diet advice from Sarah. Go eat the Lucky Charms rainbow box. But anyways, so avocados and sweet corn both showed pesticides on less than 1% of tested samples, which, again, Northern California, we really like avocados here. Mm-hmm. We do actually grow avocados in parts of California, so I'm super happy about that one. I'm like, something I will actually eat that is clean. Thank you.
Yeah.
But then more than 80% of all the others tested negative for pesticide residue.
So, okay, well, that's pretty good then.
Although they do warn, if this is also your thing, that a small portion of sweet corn, papaya, and summer squash sold in the U.S. is produced from genetically modified seeds. But that's that's a whole nother list.
That is a whole other topic of, yeah. Can we talk about that depressing topic another time?
Another time, yeah. Well, we'll save that list for another episode.
Sounds good.
So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back. You're listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. And today we're talking about things I feel I should know about being healthy and yet kind of don't. So our next topic is about working out, which I do know you're supposed to be doing. Okay, moving on. We did that too. Okay.
You should eat fruits and vegetables and you should work out. Oh, but no, we can't use the should word.
No, not should. The recommended that you work out? Let's go with recommended.
Recommended, yes.
So I know there's the, what is it, half an hour every day?
You know, when I was a kid, and this is going to show my age, it was like, that's gone up. Because it was like 20 minutes of activity a day. And then it moved, it's been moving up. I feel like by the time I die, it's going to be an hour.
Well, when you were a kid, you probably just did more movement just in general life than we do nowadays.
Oh, maybe. Except for the whole, you know, I didn't have a screen, but I had a book.
Right. But I mean, like, you know, back, as everyone goes, oh, back in my day, you know, walked uphill both ways.
Both ways in the snow.
Whereas, you know, now it's like walk to school. What?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't. I did walk to school every day. So, you know, there was that.
I walked home from school after a certain age. But mm-hmm. then I still totally got dropped off in the morning. So that's why mine needs 30 minutes instead of 20. Is because you're not getting that morning walk. You only have the afternoon. You have to add in an extra 10 minutes. Extra.
Okay.
Sure. So anyways, like fruits and vegetables, I also really don't like working out. And I hate the gym and sets and reps. Those are just, I mean, they're literally four-letter words, but those are four-letter words to me. I hate. I have to be sort of tricked into exercising. It has to be like...
How does someone trick you into exercising?
If it's something else, like if it's only I'm focusing on, you know, how many push-ups or whatever can I do, I feel it and I'm miserable. Mm. But if it's like a sport,
Oh, okay.
Then I'm like, okay. But now as I'm getting older and trying to be not terrible to my body, I'm like, okay, if I do kind of, I'm willing to do some sets or reps, whichever. Clearly, I don't know the difference yet. But I still kind of don't want to go to the gym. I hate the gym.
I have always wondered. I realize that it helps you to keep track of how many of a certain thing you've done. But I'm like, okay, so I'm going to do 4 sets of 8. Why can't I just count to 32?
Because you were supposed to pause or something in the... I'm not even sure either.
Like the worst people. I don't know why.
We apologize, all like personal trainers and people who love sets and reps. But anyway, so in this, I was like, okay, how can I do this and get my 30, going up to 40 probably soon, minutes of workout a day without going to a gym? Because still not there yet. And so...
Well, and gyms cost money. Not everybody can afford a gym membership, depending
definitely
on
that.
Where you live or how much it costs.
So in looking that up, discovered body weight exercises, which somehow I knew of and yet kind of didn't know of. Because these are things like push-ups, and yet in my head, they're not. They're somehow different because they've got this really nice name of body weight exercises, which just somehow sounds better than push-ups. Because that's just... That's tied in with years of gym, and we won't go there.
Yeah, that's true. All those yearly or quarterly, whatever they were, tests where you had to see how many push-ups you could do in a minute, how many sit-ups you could do in a minute.
Hated.
We had to do the flexed arm hang. Did you ever have to do the flexed arm hang? No. The guys, this was one of those weird sexist things where the boys did chin-ups, pull-ups, and the girls did the flex arm hang because apparently we're just such weaklings that we can only hang there.
I was in school, they had changed that to girls did that if they couldn't do at least one pull-up or at least a half. So I could always do like 3/4 of a pull-up, but never one. So they would never take me down to the flexed arm hang. And it was always, okay, you have to keep trying for a pull-up until you get that one. But the girls who couldn't even do half would then go to timing, and I was like, I kind of want to fake just go down to timing so I can actually have a number that's not
right,
that's an actual number, right? But I won't do that. I'll actually be good.
I was actually pretty good at the flexed arm hang. I could hang there for a while, but I pulling myself up,
right,
really, I don't know. Hard.
So anyways, body weight exercises can actually provide a really great workout without any equipment whatsoever. And like you said, if you can't afford a gym, this is a really good alternative. Some basic body weight exercises besides the push-up: squatting, lunging, pulling, rotating, sometimes planking. They kind of differ depending on, you know, who's describing them. Mm-hmm. But the pulling ones are actually a little hard to do without equipment. Like even for a pull-up, you kind of do have to have a pull-up bar or something to pull yourself up on.
It's something safe. Please don't just be pulling yourself. I mean, you know, if there's a playground near your house, cool. Right. Go use the jungle gym, but don't just like grab your door frame
and break it off. And I'm sure the carpenters would like you if you did that, but otherwise,
try not to kill yourself, please.
But other equipment, if you want to make it a little harder without spending money, you can use water bottles or soup cans, or if you happen to have resistance bands or hand weights. Mm-hmm. I know somewhere in my house there are hand weights that I think are older than me, and we've just had them that long, and I don't really know where they are at this
moment. They make great doorstops.
Right? That's one of those things you kind of feel you have around where you can just buy at like a garage sale for a cheap amount of money without being like, oh, now I have to go spend like hundreds of dollars to get good gym equipment.
You know, when I was little, my dad had to have physical therapy for something, and I have no idea what it was because I wasn't very old. And what they told him to do at home was to put a certain number of cans in a canvas bag or a cloth bag, and then put that on his ankle and use that as the weight. And I just remember that, you know, like, I don't know, I probably thought it was cool or something as a kid, but it works.
It does. And I like the fact that most of these you can do without shoes because you're doing them in the house, you know, so you don't have to put on shoes. You don't have to get all dressed up to go out and work out. You can do it in your house in your pajamas or what have you. But if you are doing anything sort of explosive or jumping, they do recommend putting on shoes just to cushion the impact.
Right.
Save your joints.
Yep.
You will so want them later.
They come in handy for the whole, you know, bending of limbs.
Moving, walking, not creaking. But there are many body weight exercises so that you can sort of pick and choose and make your own workout. And if you just type in body weight exercises into Google, a lot will come up. And there will be like a lot of lists of like 53 best body weight exercises. So there's at least like 53 of them.
I love those lists. It's like somebody just picks a number out of a hat. Okay, today we're doing 51 XYZ.
Well, I kind of want to have like a chart of that on the wall and just throw like a dart, throw like three darts and be like, that's my workout for the day. It's well, whatever
you,
it is.
You are supposed to use different muscles, you know, so that you don't, you know, see, you can get a full body workout.
Well, and there are some like high knees and jumping jacks and mountain climbers, which are actually, if you do them at a quick speed, are also really good for cardio, which mm-hmm. is nice because when you think of this, you think, you know, oh, push-ups, oh, pull-ups, oh, planks, that's all strength training.
Right.
But I won't get any cardio, and then I do have to get dressed and go out. But no, right. you can still stay indoors and get your cardio.
This is perfect for introverts.
Don't go to the gym. Don't even go outside.
So we should do our own infomercial, Sarah and Stacey's introvert workout.
Just Sarah and Stacey's introvert world.
Yeah, that's that too.
So a good general formula, if you are going to make your own workout using the body weight exercises, is pick 5 or 6 moves that focus on different movement patterns. And I guess this is where sets and reps come in. Do each one for 45 seconds, resting 15 seconds in between moves. You can rest longer if you need to, mm-hmm. And then sort of work up to resting less as you get stronger. And then you do the circuit 3 times total for a 15-minute workout.
Okay.
So
that's doable.
Right? It does sound doable.
Yeah.
And you can change it up if you ever get bored of like, I just don't want to do crunches today. Just like, nope, not doing it. What else can I do? Mm-hmm. Let me look in my 53 deck of body weight movements and do something else.
Instead of a dart, you could just make cards and shuffle the cards each morning and choose 3.
And with body weight, it actually makes more sense to do total body days versus splitting your days into upper and lower body. And that was one of the things that I really hated about gyms, where you'd see it on like all those people who work out regularly. It's like, oh, okay, it's leg day.
Leg day, like, that's right. That's right. No.
But it's what day? And it's go home and rest day. And tomorrow is too. And the day after. No. Leg day? Oh my gosh, no. I need to walk places. We can't do leg day. But they do also recommend to have rest days with mm-hmm. this, even mm-hmm. though you're doing, you know, no leg days, no arm days, just all body days. That rest days are important for your body to rest and recuperate.
Right. Right.
And to stretch afterwards.
Yes.
Because
that's the thing I think a lot of people skip.
Yes. It's like, okay, I worked out. I'm good. I'm going home or back to my bed, depending on, you know, if you did this outside or not. Mm-hmm. But tight muscles can actually cause undue strain on those joints. Again, you want your joints when you're older. You will.
True story.
And the tight muscles themselves can also become injured if you don't stretch them out.
Right.
So it's both your muscles and your joints if you don't stretch.
Yes, yes. And, you know, if you are doing a lot of cardio, you do want a brief warm-up before you stretch. Like,
yes.
It used to be that it was stretch first and then go do your cardio mm-hmm. Back in the dark ages when I was a lot younger. But now it's definitely, you know, do a 5-minute warm-up and then stretch those muscles that have been loosened up a little bit more. Don't stretch your cold muscles. They don't like it.
Well, and that the type of stretching you do is supposed to vary. So if it's before a workout, it needs to be the dynamic movement ones to warm up.
Right.
But then after a workout, it's better to do the static ones to stretch out the thing that's just been, you know, repeatedly tightening itself as you worked it out.
Right. Yep.
So yes, definitely stretch every day.
Every day.
Even if you don't work out, you should probably stretch.
Yeah, because you want to be able to pick things up off the floor in your later years.
You really do. I love the fact my grandmother is so, she's not like a workout junkie, but she does go to the gym, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. And she has her whole little like workout crew that they're fun. But I asked her just randomly one day, I was like, oh, can you touch your toes? Just because, you know, a lot of people can't. And she did it like it was nothing. She's like, yes, of course I can. What?
That's awesome. How old is your grandma?
In her 80s.
Excellent. I was just...
Sorry, Nana, if you didn't want me to say that.
Sorry, Grandma. I don't... Yeah, I didn't mean to out you. You're awesome, though. Let me just tell you. I just saw a video on, I think, Facebook or something, but mm-hmm. it was about a woman in England. She's 105 and doing yoga. She's like, good yeah, I didn't start until I was in my 90s.
Right.
I'm like... Dang, lady, good for you.
It's like I'm in my 20s and you are probably way fitter than I am. All right, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back. You're listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. And today we're talking about health things that I feel I should know. And then when I think about it, I really don't.
Some things like this next segment that you might not want to know.
Might want to think about. Yeah. Mm. So I remember this, maybe a decade or 15 years ago when they started replacing paper towel dispensers in bathrooms with those really fancy jet dry blow dry hand thingies, like not the ones where you press the button, but the ones that almost seem like they belong in like a SpaceX tunnel or something,
where you just put your hands near them and they start.
It's a literal like jet air coming out, and that was a thing that, you know, a lot of places were switching to because it's better for the environment, because we're not using up all that paper, and it's supposedly more sanitary. Except it turns out maybe no, it's not. Because there was a study that found that bathroom hand dryers may actually be making your hands dirtier.
Oh, good Lord.
And that they create invisible bacterial highways, which is just...
You know, I'm now picturing a literal bacterial highway, right? With little bacterial cars driving
around. What was that? Osmosis Jones, that cartoon?
Oh, yes.
It's that. I'm sure it's exactly like that.
Totally.
But no, that because they are, you know... The air they're blowing has to come from somewhere. They're sort of evidently concentrating that air.
Sucking it out of the bathroom and blowing it onto your hands.
And because, of course, so like, I know most people probably know when you flush, you should put the lid down, because even when it flushes, it has that plume that throws all the bacteria back
but
into the air.
Most public restrooms don't have lids.
Exactly. So that does totally just get into the air in a bathroom. And you're like, okay, gross. I don't ever want to go into a public bathroom.
I know.
I apologize.
Picturing what I'm walking through. You know, I mean, I just try to. Oh, God. Just don't think about these things.
Well, here's the thing. When the blow dryers weren't blowing, they put these sort of petri dishes or whatever to measure the bacteria to see how much caught on it. Mm-hmm. When they weren't blowing, they got very low, low numbers, like almost non-existent.
Okay.
But then they would turn on the blow dryer and put the petri dish right next to it, and the numbers just went up, skyrocketing.
Okay.
So it's like, there's a thought that, A, they're sucking in the air, but also that it's concentrating because it has to sort of get filtered through there, and if the filter is not very clean, then you're blowing dirty stuff on your hands, I guess.
You know, I haven't used a public restroom today, nor a hand dryer, and I still want to go take a shower.
I know, it's a little gross, and I'm now like, huh, so I thought I was being all, you know, good for the planet when I was like, let me use the blow dryer and not use the paper towels, but now I'm like, definitely paper towel. Paper towel all the way. Like, even if there's no paper towel, what do I do?
Just dry them on your pants.
Or I used to go grab, like, 5 of the, like, toilet seat covers.
Yes, those work in a pinch.
Except they stick to your hands and you have to peel that off. But yeah. Otherwise.
Well, it depends. Some of them are really like shiny paper that doesn't stick as much. So it kind of depends on which brand it is, I guess.
But continuing to gross you out, I apologize, listeners. Taking shoes off indoors is a good thing. And I actually didn't even know this was a thing till I was maybe like 9. My family doesn't really do this. We don't care so much about taking shoes off
right
the moment you get indoors. But then I went to like a friend's house and they were like, oh, take your shoes off, please. And I'm like, oh, okay, what?
And I always just thought it was because of, you know, tracking in mud or something, but apparently it's also germs.
Yes. So You do check in things on your shoes. Some things you can see, and of course, a number of things you can't see, including lots of germs. Now, not all of those germs are bad, because I guarantee you right now you have germs on you. That's just of how course. Germs work.
Yeah.
Not all germs make you sick. However, if you are, how do I say this? So, A, if you have a compromised immune system,
mm-hmm.
like if someone is sick or on chemotherapy, or the elderly tend to have compromised immune systems, they can be at risk, but also people who tend to spend more time on the floor. So like young children or people who have young children and get down on the floor to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking around in your shoes, that's now on your floor that your child's playing on. And they're going to spend much more time on that floor than you are. And children, of course, tend to be more susceptible to that. So it's just like they're just completely exposed all the time.
Again, immune system, except, you know, when it's compromised, I'm still going with roll around and build up your immune system.
But I mean, it's fine when it's like you kind of know what it is. But since you can't know what all the germs are, because, of course, you can't see them, it's just right. like, what am I bringing home? Like, especially I used to do that when I lived in San Francisco. I worked at a barbecue restaurant where the floor where we all worked was very greasy. The floor where the customers came in was fine.
Right.
But because we're all in the back with the kitchen, that floor was so greasy. And then I was riding public transit and I was just like, yeah, no. I had like two different shoes that I would take every time I had to go to work. And one was like work only. And then the moment I like could change, I'd put on the different shoes. I was just like, these are gross and I don't want to touch them. Just ew. And sadly, I've always lived in houses with carpets. I think this is just a thing where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that wood floor places were a thing anymore. That felt very like 1800s. And didn't we all move to carpets in the 50s because those were supposedly better? Evidently not.
You don't watch the HGTV, do you?
No, I don't.
They're always pulling out that carpet to expose the hardwood floors.
I know. Carpets are now... I'm really starting to be grossed out. We did this on a previous episode where we were talking about sleeping
mm-hmm.
and people who have allergens and all the allergens that can get into a carpet. And even when you vacuum, it gets into the air.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now with the shoes, carpets can sort of act like a bristle and sort of pull microbes from your shoes as you walk on it. And then they just sort of get caught there because you can't. It's really hard to properly clean carpets, you know? Like, it's not like I can just spray a bunch of bleach like I can mop my floor with. Like, with the carpet that gets in there and it gets under the first layer and into the padding layer or whatever's with carpets. I don't watch HGTV. And because it's all covered in multiple layers, carpets tend to, and I've noticed this too, like, if I spill something on a carpet, A, I can't wipe it up, but then B, it kind of stays wet mm-hmm. for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And pathogens do better in damp environments. The non-dry ones, right. like hard floors, which can air dry. So it's just like, great.
Yeah, well, and you know, with things like pet stains, you clean it up off the carpet, but then part of it's already soaked into the underlayer. And yeah, I'm sure it's the same thing with germs. And I just decided to invest in a hazmat suit.
I mean, you were the one who was like, you know, roll around and strengthen your immune system.
I know. It's all or nothing for me.
I mean, I apologize. We really did not set out with this episode to gross people out. But this was things that, you know, I thought I knew. And then I read more and saw, oh, no. No, I don't.
Stacey, you can just leave me in my ignorance next time, okay? Come on.
Ignorance is not always bliss. But in this case, maybe it was.
Maybe you'll sleep better if you didn't know these things.
So on that really gross and yet very apologetic note, we're going to end for today. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.